Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to build and grow a six or seven-figure business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and blogging and pet services and everything in between, but I'm really excited about today's guest. Today's guest is Molly Rouse. Now, Molly has been training dogs professionally for nearly 13 years. And aside from having a six-figure dog training business, she's also the dog training industry's marketing guru, the founder of MakeItAsADogTrainer.com. She's well known and highly respected as a small business marketing expert. Over the last several years, she's helped thousands of dog trainers all over the world start and grow their dog training businesses to fun, thriving careers by teaching marketing strategies, principles, and step-through courses and workshops. Now, she gained her marketing knowledge in the process of growing her own business through study and following the world's most successful small business marketing geniuses in a variety of industries, and even occasionally after her own struggle and challenges to overcome over the years. I know we always have those challenges, right? Those are always the lessons that are easiest or the ones that stick with us the longest. She teaches new dog trainers as well as longtime dog trainers how to set up or revamp their marketing, including how to write their websites and programs, how to advertise effectively, and how to stand out next to competition so they can get all the clients they want, make more money, and more importantly, not get burned out in the process. Helping people finally make money at the thing that they love to do, helping people with their dogs, has been extremely rewarding for Molly personally. She loves making a difference. Molly, thank you very much for hanging out with us today.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mike.
I know, as we were getting ready, we were doing kind of the tech, I was looking through your window back there and I was like, man, that's so beautiful. I'm looking at closed windows and whiteboards and nothing else like that. It's kind of a dark little dungeon that I've caved out for myself here. So yeah, I definitely am very envious of what you got. So again, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. So before we get started, we just ran through your bio, so we kind of know a little bit about what you do, but you know, tell us why you're here. I mean, I know that you like to make a difference. I know that you do a lot of these trainings, to help people grow their business, because this is kind of one of those areas that a lot of people get stuck in. But tell us a little bit about your businesses, just, you know, a real brief kind of history, and let us know kind of why you're here today.
Yeah, absolutely. So for my dog training business, as you know, as you mentioned, I've been training dogs professionally for almost 13 years now. In December will be 13 years. And my husband and I do the dog training business together. When I first started, I was in a corporate job. So when I first started training dogs, I wanted to do something, you know, I always had the entrepreneurial bug, you know, I wanted to have my own business, and I had always been researching different kind of businesses and trying to find the good fit for me, and I came across dog training and realized right away that it was a perfect fit for me, because I love teaching people, I love dogs, I love anything that has to do with understanding behavior, you know, including dogs and as well as people, and all of that just fit into dog training. So it was the business that I picked after wanting a business in the first place. And I wanted to get out of working in a regular job. I hated working in an office, hated being in a cubicle all day, hated going to work in the dark, coming home in the dark. Yeah. My husband was an art teacher. So he was an elementary art teacher. So he was only working part time. And, you know, the art teachers are hard to get full time jobs for. So, as I started the dog training business, I would just kind of teach him everything as I learned it, and he learned how to train the dogs too, and we just built the business together. Within a few months, everything was so busy with the dog training business that I realized that I could actually make more money if I quit my job, because I would have more time to put into the business. Mm-hmm. So that's how it got started. And then, you know, Jason, my husband, would help me when he wasn't working, and was able to more than double my core income right away for that first year. So that's kind of how it started out. And of course, during different economic crises that would go on over the last 12 years or so, there would be ups and downs that I'd have to overcome. And then when things would go down, I'd realize that there must be something else I need to learn, something else I needed to know in order to be able to overcome that challenge. Mm-hmm. That it was, if something wasn't working, there had to be a reason. And it wasn't just that the economy was bad, that there had to be another way to get past it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I spent an awful lot of my focus in my dog training career not just learning how to get great results with the dogs and make people happy with their dogs, but also learning the skills of marketing, because it's not just something you do, it's something you have to learn how to do. Right. So I was always going back to the drawing board and adding to that over the years.
No, that's great. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there, is that, you know, you're constantly evolving, right? There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something new coming around, or some sort of a hurdle. And, you know, one of the things that I respect the most about you is that you've got these training programs. I mean, in these training programs, you know, we're in the industry too. I mean, we've seen it come from anybody and everybody, and your training programs are you know, some of the best that we've seen. So, you know,
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you were able to kind of hang out with us today. And, you know, I really appreciate that. So when you, I guess let's kind of go back to the very beginning. When you decided to get out of your corporate business and you wanted to go ahead and start this other business, did you have a goal of setting a financial goal? Like, I need to get out of it and I'm going to build a X kind of a business? Or was it really like a passion thing where you're just like, I'm done with the corporate. This is what I'm going to do, and then go from there?
Well, it was a little bit of both. I definitely wanted to get out of just having a regular job and have my own business and be able to be outside and have that flexibility with my schedule and all that more control over my life in that way with my career. I wanted to do something I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So that was a big part of it. As far as my income went, of course, I needed to, at the very least, make what I was making at my job in order to make it. So at the time, I was, you know, this is going back a while. I was only, 23 years old, something like that, making $40,000 a year at my corporate job. So that's a pretty good amount of money for a 23-year-old.
Absolutely.
So my goal was to make at least that. It wasn't necessarily to reach six figures, because I was back in the time where there was hardly any marketing training for small businesses. It was, you know, the internet was still ramping up as far as people having websites and everything. It wasn't really, there wasn't really anything out there except trial and error for me. So I didn't even think six figures was possible.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny, because my husband used to tell me when we first got married, I was only 20 when we got married, and, As I got jobs and then started growing in, you know, different corporate jobs and getting up to manager levels in corporate jobs at a pretty young age, he always used to say, you know what, I bet you in the next couple of years you'll be making $100,000. And I was like, oh, probably not in the corporate job. That'll take a really long time to get there. Mm-hmm. But within the first year in my dog training business, I hit it. So I got to the six figures even during that first year training dogs. So it was definitely worth quitting my job so I could put that time into the dog training business.
Right. But I'm sure at the time, though, it was still a leap of faith, right? It's still a little scary to leave that security.
Yeah, it was. I waited until I knew that, like, you know, there was all these clients that were waiting that I could take if I had the time, you know, and then that's when I quit my day job so that I could just train full time.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think it's a lot of way that you know, at least a lot of the folks that we do it too, they kind of still have their feet here, but they're dabbling and back and forth. And the challenge is if they can't get it, if they can't figure out whatever that break is that they need to make it, then they just you burn out fast, because you're really burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It is really easy to burn out if you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to get through that is to just make sure you know how to get enough clients so that happens faster. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep a wait list going until you're able to get rid of one of the things in your schedule, like your day job.
Yeah, like the one you don't really want to do, right?
Yeah.
So, no, that's great. So now, as you grew this business, I mean, you were able to hit kind of this six-figure number within the first 12 months. As you started to do that, though, I mean, what are some of the things that held you back from, or actually, I guess I should start, were there things that held you back, like psychologically, or were there little roadblocks or things like that that you ran across when you were building this business?
With building the business when I first started, you know, because I didn't have a very clear goal income wise, I just kind of wanted to make as much as I could, and, you know, studied marketing a lot, because I knew that if I was going to get enough clients, I didn't only need to know how to train dogs. And when I went through school to learn how to train dogs, that was all I learned, how to train dogs. So one of the advantages I had right away is that my first question all along, every time I talked to other dog trainers, was, okay, yeah, I get that. I get how you do the dog training. I get how the dog training works. I understand how to fix these problems and how to help these kinds of clients. But how do you get them? How do they find you? How do you market this thing? And that was always what I was asking. And the answers I got were usually pretty vague. I think a lot of the mindset struggle I had, the advantage I had with that is that I was able to overcome that quickly because I was so determined to what was, you know, how to get clients for this business. And I knew there had to be strategies and answers that I hadn't learned yet that mm-hmm. I wasn't finding out, you know, from other dog trainers yet. So, you know, that's one thing I think a lot of people have to overcome when they start a business is that they think that just having a service to offer is going to be enough. You know, that yeah. if they just hang their shingle, in other words, they're open for business, they have a website, they have a business card, that they have a service to offer, that people will just come because right. they're needed, you yeah. know, and that's not the way it works, that you have to pull people in, you have to make them want to work with you. And, you know, I had to learn how to do that. So since I knew that was necessary, I was able to overcome that kind of mindset thing that happens a lot of times when people start businesses.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, you can have the greatest product or service in the world, right? But if nobody knows that it's out there, it's kind of a moot point. So
yep.
Now you've got this business, you're running this business. Tell me about how you grew it. I mean, are you running this business all by yourself? Did you bring on additional trainers, additional office staff? Like, how did that roll out for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because actually one of the differences about my business compared to a lot of other big businesses or six or seven figure businesses is that I actually get to keep most of my six figures because we've kept it very simple just because of our preference. You know, my husband and I just kind of wanted to have a business that was simple and easy and, you know, predictable and consistent and, you know, just simple. So we didn't really want to have staff or a facility or, you know, a whole bunch of trainers working under us. It's just not our style. We right. just wanted to do everything ourselves. So it was just my husband and I. We didn't have any trainers that we trained. We did everything out of our house and out of our home office. So that's the way it went for the longest time. When I finally mm-hmm. did get help with different things, it was always for specific projects. Mm-hmm. Like I have a virtual assistant that helps just returning phone calls to people, so that if I'm not around for a couple of days, people still get their calls returned right away. And mm-hmm. you know, she logs people into my, you know, thing that I have all my contacts organized, and everybody who contacts us, she puts them in there so I can keep track of how many people contacted us each month and who mm-hmm. got followed up with and who got missed and who needs another phone call. And she would do all that stuff for me just to help out with the just the phone call stuff, the mm-hmm. emails and different things. But even for the longest time, I didn't even have that. When I got to a certain point of being busy, I really needed that. Mm-hmm. So there does get to a certain point with every business where you have to outsource some things that you can teach someone to do as mm-hmm. well as you do it, you yeah. know, that you can let go of some control a little bit and let somebody else handle those things. The other things I would outsource are things that I couldn't do as well as other people, like mm-hmm. website design, you know, and SEO and things like that, that I don't need to spend my time learning how to do, because that's not my profession. You know, there are so many things that people are better at that you can get them to help you without you having to go out and just be a DIY business owner with everything.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's so funny that you say that too, because, you know, we have a lot of conversations with folks that are running, you know, smaller businesses, whether they're training businesses or pet sitters or dog walk or whatever the case is. And it seems like there's this mentality, and I get the fact that at some point in time you kind of have to do everything to get started, but there's always this jumping off point where you kind of have to go, I need some more help, you know. And it's really all about kind of what's your best and highest use, and knowing that you don't want to have to learn how to do accounting and sales and marketing and web development and the 412 other things. At some point in time, you've got to do what you do best and let it rip. Yeah, no, I love that. That's fantastic. And that was actually, that was a great transition, because, you know, one of the topics that we had about was outsourcing. Now, I know that you do a lot with automation too. If I remember right, I think that you're an Infusionsoft user. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the types of things that you automate and the things that you use to save your time?
At dog training, it's really important to be able to get people information about what you offer as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. because wait to contact you until they're at their wit's end, you know, with their dog. Their dog is driving them crazy. Their dog bit one of their kids or jumped on it for the last time, and they're just going nuts. So they go online and they look for a dog trainer, and they want some kind of reassurance at the very least right away that there's a solution out there. So I realized at some point that in my study of marketing that obviously it's important to get back to people quickly, but most of the time the people who become clients for a particular service were able to reach that service immediately or get a response from them within a few minutes, mm-hmm. which is not always possible to do when you're a busy business owner.
For sure.
You can't be answering the phone all day. You can't always avoid people going to voicemail. You can't always get back to voicemails and emails within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So at that point, some kind of automation. So at the very least, they could get that response in some way and that reassurance that I could help. So that's where the automation came in for me, that on my website, I had something that they could request, you know, a video or a download or something like that. They put in their email address for it, and they get that email immediately. And that kind of triggers in their mind, even though they know it's automated, that it was that they were contacted back right away, that they got mm-hmm. that reassurance that they wanted, that somebody is there to help them. And the email was reassuring that it was, yeah. you know, here's the free thing you signed up for. Don't worry, we can help you with your dog. We'd love to talk to you. Write me back, tell me all about what's going on, and I'll give you a call as soon as possible, that kind of thing. So then they got that response from me and my company right away. And then if I wasn't able to reach them by phone, then there could be other emails that they would get. I'd already have their email address. I could continue inviting them to open houses or other events that I had, or telling them about the programs or asking them questions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that kind of stuff is really important these days with the way technology is and the way marketing works with the internet these days, that you need to have a way of people being able to request information and get something from you right away. Yeah. And that's how that really helped me a lot.
Yeah, no, I know that you do. I know you've got some training on website stuff, and that still boggles my mind today when we talk to people and we look at their websites and we're like, okay, but you know, where's your lead magnet? How do people get a hold of you and all this other stuff? And it's just like 98% of the people that are coming to your site are just flying right past because you don't have something to capture that lead. So yeah, it's you know, yeah. marketing is continually growing. And a lot of times what we've seen is people are kind of thinking about stuff how it was 5 years ago or 7 years ago. And it's just, yeah. you got to kind of stay up a little bit on that stuff. That's great. That's great news.
Right.
So now in terms of, now I know that you've got a lot of these programs and stuff that are going out, and I know that you've got like a new workshop coming up, but I want to talk a little bit about that. But before we get to that, I just have one more question for you. A lot sure. of the people that are going to be coming through this series are going to be people that maybe didn't necessarily have the challenges they're having challenges that you may not have necessarily had. So a lot of times people that are going to be coming through here, they're hitting that I just can't do anymore. They're starting to burn out. They are trying to do it all themselves. So if you could give somebody, like if you were to sit down with somebody and do a 3-minute coaching session, give them three things. What are the three things that you would say, these are what I, if I were you, these are the things that I would focus on right now to get you to kind of break through and take you to that next level?
That's a great question. If I had to pick three things, I would say, you know, if it was general without having the details on that person's business and what their, you know, ideal clients were like and mm-hmm. what their specialties are like. But generally speaking, the three things that most often need to be done, I would see, you know, they usually have the results part taken care of. They're good at what they do. They already know how to groom. Mm-hmm. They already know how to train. They already know how to do mm-hmm. what they do. The other 75% of their business is really coming down to the things that they don't know, the things that they need to learn about marketing, how it works, what influences people to make buying decisions, what to write on their website, how to talk to people, how to describe their services on their website and also in person when they talk to a prospect. Mm-hmm. All of that is under marketing. So learning all that is definitely a vital focus for every business. Anytime there's ever a goal that's not being reached or someone's struggling, it's because one of those areas needs work. I call it finding holes in the business, you know, just figuring out where people are falling through the cracks. Are they finding you but not contacting you? Or are they contacting you but not signing up? You know, which area of marketing needs mm-hmm. more focus? Being able to pay attention to where people are falling through the cracks and learning more about that topic is definitely one of the things. Number two, definitely outsourcing things that you can teach other people to do so that you can spend more time working on your business instead of just in it. There was someone I worked with very closely for a few months with private coaching, and she was making about $55,000 a year, $54,000, $55,000. And within 3 months of working together, she had doubled her yearly income so that that following year she was $134,000 or so.
Yes.
And the things that she changed were really being able to let go of some things that she could teach other people how to do, like the phones and the returning emails and some of the follow-up with clients and some website things and a bunch of other outsourcing like that, so that she could actually spend time sitting at her desk instead of putting out fires and returning random emails, sitting down and focusing and working on specific things with her marketing, with her business to develop it, to make it better, and learning things and studying. Again, working on the business instead of in it. So the outsourcing definitely is important if you're at the burnout phase. You know, if you're burning out because you're too busy and you're not making enough, then, you know, and part of the learning too, going back to number one, is maybe even getting someone to coach you so that they, because they can get an overhead view. They can see, if you have a business coach, they can see where the problems are much easier than you, because you're too close to it.
Yeah.
So that's part of the learning part too. But then the number three thing, besides the learning or getting coaching and the outsourcing things, would be, what was it? I had it in my head a second ago. So learning, outsourcing, and then, you know, it went out of my mind. I'll think of it in a second.
No
problem. It was something along those same lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides getting extra help and learning more things, they need to just continue to just make sure that they're focusing not just on what they do, but on actually learning things that they might be missing.
Yeah, no, and that's funny that you said that, because that's one of the consistent themes that we're hearing when we're running through these interviews, because we're talking to a lot of different people from a lot of different industries, and there's a reason why we do that, right? We want to ask the same questions from a lot of different people, because it's in those consistencies across the board that are like, okay, these are the things that, even though you're not exactly what this person is, these are things that you should be paying attention to. And, you know, accountability groups, learning, you know, basically taking advantage of what it is that you do best, like, you know, really stepping into your superpower and letting somebody else step into theirs. Like, all that stuff is fantastic. Now, listen, Molly, I really appreciate it. I don't want to take up a lot more of your time. I really appreciate you coming and joining us today. But before we go, if people have questions, I know that you've got a program that's coming up. You've got a workshop that's coming up, and I want to hear a little bit about that. But if people want to get more from you, if they want to find out more about you, whatever else, the programs that you offer, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way probably just is to make sure that I'm able to stay in touch with you with whatever's coming up. So if you go to my main website, makeitasadogtrainer.com, then there's always free training available on there. There's a spot where you can just go ahead and put in your email address so I can keep you updated on new free training that comes out and workshops that I'm doing and different courses that I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom of that page, there's also a button where you can see things that are available now. You know, I have a home study course for marketing now, and some other different programs that are available now. And in the meantime, until our next big workshop, which will be in November.
Yeah. No, I know it's coming up in November, and you know, I definitely want to make sure that you keep us posted so that we can help you get that out there. Because like I say, I'm a big fan of your training. You know,
Thank you.
Great to find people that do it and they kind of get it and they do it right. So, you know, I'm a huge fan all over the place. So when we put this page together with the replay video so that people can go to it, you know, we'll have links to all of those things as well. So, you know, if you want to add any social media links or whatever, just go ahead and shoot me an email. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. Look, thank you very much for spending your time with us today. And, you know, have a wonderful day.
Sounds good. Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks, Molly.